Hi, this is Fred Zaswell, editor at Books at a Glance. We're talking today with Dr. Stephen Wellum about the new book that he has co-edited with Brent Parker. It's entitled Progressive Covenantalism, Charting a Course Between Dispensationalism and Covenant Theology. Dr. Wellum is professor of Christian theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. We're happy he could talk with us today about his new work. Steve, welcome. Great to have you back with us again.
Great to be with you, Fred, and look forward to the opportunity of talking about the book.
Okay, let's begin with the big picture. Explain for us first, what is progressive covenantalism, the concept, not just the book? What's it all about?
Sure, yeah, I'd be happy to do that. If we just take the two words, that's probably a good place to begin. First, if we just think of covenantalism, basically the argument is if we understand rightly the unfolding plan of God from creation to Christ and ultimately to the consummation in the new creation, the backbone to the entire plan of God, the unfolding storyline of Scripture is the covenants or the biblical covenants. So there's where the notion of covenantalism comes. And in that sense, it's similar to covenant theology that would see that God's unfolding plan begins with creation and Adam, and there's a creation, a covenant context there, and then there's the unfolding covenants that ultimately culminate in Christ, and all of the details of God's plan are made sense of in light of the covenant development and the covenant unpacking across from creation to Christ. Now, progressive, in some sense I've already been unpacking that term. Progressive is the idea of progressive revelation. So progressive means many things to many people in different contexts, but we're using it in the sense of biblical theology sense, the old Vossian, Gerhardus Voss sense of God's plan comes to us over time. It doesn't come to us all at once. So you have sort of a seed to full bloom kind of form. And as you go from creation to Christ, there is the unfolding plan of God through, and through is being used here in more of a through time or an redemptive historical sense that through the biblical covenants, they unfold the plan of God step by step. So all of the covenants contribute to the revelation of God's plan, glorious plan of redemption, that now culminates in the coming of Christ and the new covenant, so that they all have a part to play in seeing the glory of the great plan of salvation fulfilled in Christ, terminating in Him, and then where we are in terms of the church in relationship to Him.
Okay, to make sure we all know what we're talking about, list for us the covenants that you're talking about where this progresses.
Yeah. So as we work through, obviously there's many covenants in Scripture, but we're picking up the main promise covenants so that we begin with Adam. And we do argue, and this is a disputed point in theology, in different theological views, but we argue for a creation covenant with Adam as the covenant representative and head. And then he's standing on behalf of all of us. So with Adam to then Noah, and then Noah functions in another Adam sense. Obviously, it's a fallen context now, but Adam or Noah functions as another Adam who is given the same kind of promises or commands, mandate as Adam has, but now a fallen world. And that universal focus from Adam to Noah is developed and then narrowed. So we have in Noah the sense of two seeds, two kingdoms. God in the Noahic covenant will not wipe away the entire human race as he has done in the flood, but that the kingdom of man, the kingdom of God will exist simultaneously until the end of the age. And then in the Abrahamic, the Adamic role is now narrowed to a family through the seed, through Isaac, and then ultimately through the nation of Israel, the means by which God's promise all the way back to Genesis 3:15 that God will send a seed of the woman to reverse the effects of sin, to destroy the works of the evil one, that it'll come through Abraham's line, through the nation of Israel, epitomized. So the nation of Israel will be the Old Covenant or Mosaic Covenant, through then epitomizing in the Davidic Covenant. The Davidic Covenant obviously is an extension of Israel. David's under the Old Covenant, yet the Davidic king takes on the role of Israel as an individual and begins to fulfill the Abrahamic promises all the way back to Adam, so that those covenants, Adam, creation, Noahic, Abrahamic, Old or Mosaic, Davidic, are the main covenants that then, as the prophets look forward in light of the sin of Israel, the sin of the kings, the failure, anticipate the coming of a greater king who's identified with the Lord, who is the fulfillment of Israel, who is Abraham's seed, who is greater Adam, who now will bring a new covenant. And so those are the covenants that then the Old Testament unfolds, and that Christ now comes as the fulfillment of that prophetic hope, bringing the new covenant to pass in his life, death, resurrection, pouring out of the Spirit at Pentecost, and then ultimately the culmination of it when he comes again.
You make a point in the book to say that the covenants culminate in the new covenant. Can you sketch that out for us?
Sure, yeah. You know, our contention here, this is where it's, we're not, when we distinguish ourselves from dispensational covenant theology, obviously there's so much in common that, all evangelicals, all within these views have in common. I guess where we're slightly different as we think of the covenant unfolding, we do want to see that these aren't just sort of self-contained, covenants separated from what's happened previously in redemptive history to what happens later, or just simply putting the biblical covenants under one larger rubric, say the covenant of grace. We want to say each of the biblical covenants, beginning in creation with Adam, unfold the plan of God so that they all have a part to understand what ultimately comes in the new covenant. So when we say that the new covenant in Christ culminates all the other covenants, is that all those previous covenants in how they are presented and how they develop reach their fulfillment, their terminus, their sort of end and goal in Christ. So creation Adam leads us to last Adam. That's Christ in the new covenant. Now, the Noahic is interesting here because obviously Noah is picking up creation realities. There's a universal focus because Noah represents the entire human race as Adam did. With Noahic, there's a sense in which, and I think when we speak about it culminating in Christ, we have to qualify this in the sense that with the Noahic, the promise there is that until the end of the age, seed time and harvest, summer and winter will continue. So we take that to be the creation pattern standards. So things like marriage, things like, even government, these kind of things that are all part of creation order. They will continue to the end, yet there will be then two seeds. So that Christ ultimately fulfills even Noahic, but it's going to be an overlap of the ages in the New Testament where he comes, yet the creation order continues until the end, until the final. You think of marriage, how marriage continues under Adam, Noahic. That's a creation order pattern, ordinance, yet it gets transformed then in the consummation. So Noahic is culminating in the new covenant by continuing to the end of the age, yet Christ still fulfills creation pattern. He is the head of creation, head of redemption, and so on. And then with Abrahamic, the Abrahamic seed to Isaac, and then ultimately through the nation of Israel, Christ comes as the true seed. I think of Galatians 3 at this point. He is true Israel, so the culminates in terms of Israel's covenant. He takes on the role of Israel, fulfills that role, what it pointed forward to, and particularly the Davidic, so that he culminates it by all the previous covenants reach their pointing forward and their prophetic sense ultimately in him and what he accomplishes in the new covenant.
All right, situate progressive covenantalism for us theologically in comparison or in contrast to the other to Scripture. How is this distinctive?
Yeah, as we think of, again, you have to be very careful that you see that there's so much agreement with, you know, evangelicals, historic Christians, and everything else. So it's not like it's brand new in every other every way, but it is unique in that we're trying to take with looking at the unfolding plan of God, right? So we're trying to say, how does the whole counsel of God, the whole canon of Scripture fit, right? How does the pieces, all of the diverse, and there's lots of diversity in Scripture, how does it ultimately fit? Well, we're saying, you know, again, we're not trying to be reductionistic here, but we're trying to say that the covenant unfolding will bring coherence to how the plan of God unfolds and culminates in Christ. Over against, say, a dispensational theology, I mean, they talk about covenants, they talk about these things, but they still tend to speak of, at the heart of a dispensational theology, Israel as a national ethnic people. Certainly that's true in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, yet they remain distinct, or at least there's, depending on the dispensationalist you're talking to, there's still a distinction between Israel church. Most dispensationalists today and the progressive want to say there's one people of God, yet Israel as a national ethnic people will still or has some promises left outstanding for them that they will receive in the future, not just in millennium, but final state, even though they're part of the one people of God. So there's some kind of Israel church contrast distinction in that way, and that drives sort of dispensational theology and leads to a certain eschatology and understanding of the church and Israel and so on. We are saying over against them that if we look at the covenantal unfolding, obviously Israel as a national ethnic people serves a crucial role in God's plan. They're tied back to Abraham. Ultimately, Abraham is tied back to Adam. Yet the nation of Israel in its typological role finds its fulfillment in Christ, and the Davidic covenant is important here. The Davidic king in the Old Testament takes on the role of Israel, so that in Christ he fulfills the role of Israel, the role of the king, all the way back to the role of Adam, so that Israel finds its fulfillment first in Christ, who is true Israel, last Adam, true Davidic king, who then brings about a people, an international community, Jew-Gentile together, equal standing, so that we preserve in the future our ethnic differences. None of that changes. We remain gender, male, female. We remain whatever our ethnicity is. But in the church, there's one new man, so that there's not something left, in our view, outstanding to national Israel other than what they receive in and through the promises in Christ. All the promises are yes and amen in him, and they're brought into the church. So that's where it's a little different than, say, a progressive dispensational or a dispensational view. Over against covenant theology, probably our main, we obviously are agreeing on the covenant unfolding, yet I think, and again, you have to be careful as you label covenant theologians today. Historically, they've worked with God's eternal plan, covenant of redemption, a covenant of works in Adam in creation, and the covenant of grace that all of the biblical covenants are subsumed under. There are modifications of that where distinctions are made between work kind of covenants and bilateral and unconditional and grace covenants. But they tend to view the covenants under this one rubric of the covenant of grace. And what we're saying is, well, if you mean the covenant of grace is the one plan of God, that's fine. But it's important to let the unfolding plan of God take place to see how each covenant is contributing to the revelation, the unfolding of God's plan, and then ask how each covenant is building on the previous, that's setting us up for what comes later, and then how all of it is fulfilled in Christ. Now, when we do that, we're convinced that some of the moves that covenant theology has made, particularly often going from Israel immediately to church. So in their view, the church is the new Israel, or Israel is the church, and it's ordered the same way or structured the same way of, you know, you have an Israel within Israel. So in the church, you have a church within church, and then circumcision as a sign to Israel of old now comes over in continuity with, say, baptism that shows up in infant baptism. Those kind of things are not quite right because they're not doing justice to how the covenants are reaching fulfillment in Christ and bringing change, so that the relationship of Christ to his people under the new covenant isn't exactly the same way as the mediators of the old of the previous covenants are to their people, and so there has to be allowance for the proper sense of transformation, fulfillment, as you move from the patterns and often typological structures of the old to the fulfillment in Christ. So there's where we're going to differ, and a lot of the differences, they show up in other areas, but a lot of them seem to center on ecclesiology and then issues of ordinances, eschatology, but behind that would be a slightly different way of seeing the plan of God unfold step by step.
All right, great. All right, this is a new book, but it's not the first time you've addressed the theme. So just briefly, how does this book follow on your previous two books, Kingdom Through Covenant in 2012, and then God's Kingdom Through God's Covenant in 2015?
Yeah, that's great. The first book, Kingdom Through Covenant with Peter Gentry, was simply laying out in a more detailed, and we would say more academic presentation, progressive covenantalism, trying to work through the biblical covenants. So, you know, I put, you know, some of the issues of what's the relation of biblical and systematic and dispensational and covenant and hermeneutical differences and how we're approaching the Bible. And Peter worked through the Old Testament covenants to the New Covenant, and we were a little short on the New Testament, which we're going to try to remedy down the road. And then I came back and tried to show, here's the theological implications. Here's a new proposal that's trying to mediate both dispensational covenant theology, but most of the work was actually laying out the exegetical and moving from exegetical to biblical theology to systematic theology on how the covenants unfold. The second volume was basically a shortened version of that to make it a little bit more popular. We took out all of the polemical kind of discussion. We really didn't discuss directly dispensationalism or covenant theology or these type of thing. We just simply laid out, here's our view and here's the big picture of it, and summarized it, you know, in about a third of the space. Now, where this volume, Progressive Covenantalism, comes in is that we're trying to take what we did in Kingdom Through Covenant and then God's Kingdom Through God's Covenants, the shortened version, we're trying to just develop it, right? So we only in those, the first volume especially, only were able to say, here's how the covenants unfold, here's some of the exegetical work, but we realized that there's a lot more work that needs to be done. There's a lot more application that needs to be worked out, or theological matters that need to be discussed. So what a PhD student, Brent Parker, and I said, well, let's, you know, enlist people who would agree with the overall direction. And there may be differences among us on, say, you know, millennial issues, and there's nothing, we don't come down, you know, there, we have all mills, we have historic pre-mills, that kind of thing. But the overall direction of the progress of the covenants as the way of seeing how God's plan unfolds. So we enlisted authors who agreed with that overall approach, so they would not classify themselves, say, as dispensational or covenant. And then we said, let's develop some certain points. And then, all right, we need to work on, you know, certain themes, seed, how does that work across the covenants, circumcision. We have to address the Sabbath issue because that shows up in a lot of discussions of covenant theology. We never directly dealt with that in the previous books. So Tom Schreiner comes and deals with that issue. Given this kind of understanding, how would that Sabbath command look. I addressed issues on ethics. There's a discussion on Israel to church. Romans 9 to 11, we weren't able to deal with that in the first volume. That was a real shortcoming of the volume, and that we were criticized for that. And so we said, well, you know, we've got to lay out, you know, especially with the dispensational view of Israel in the future, what does Romans 9 to 11 say? And so Richard Lucas tackled that by just trying to say, here's the parameters that we can work with. This is what the text we think is saying. It doesn't provide weight to, you know, necessarily a dispensational view. It can be read in light of progressive covenantalism and do justice to the text, as well as then warning passages had to be looked at more carefully, because covenant theology often appeals to those warning texts to try to justify the church really is not that much different than Israel of old. You have an Israel within Israel, church within church. The warning passages are addressed to the church as a whole. And so we had to say, no, those warning passages can be understood rightly and properly within a progressive covenantal view. So taking specific elements that we were unable to develop and develop them a bit more. And we acknowledge there's still a lot of work to be done. So our initial works were really, here's a proposal. And now we're trying to unpack that proposal in more detail, more specificity, more argument, and enlist more people to do so.
Great. Well, I've got several more questions that have come to mind that I'd love to chase, but we've pretty much used up our time. Can we come back and do another interview sometime soon?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, great. Well, let's do that. We're talking to Dr. Steve Wellum about his new book, Progressive Covenantalism. It's an excellent piece of work that's sure to make its mark and demands some attention. We encourage you to get a copy for careful study. Steve, thanks for taking time to talk to us today.
I appreciate it, Fred, and thank you very much.